Christians are too condemning. I'm sure you've heard that. In survey after survey of reasons why people leave the church, that word comes up again and again. People say that the church or Christians in general are too judgmental, too divisive, too condemning. And in fact, in the most recent surveys done during and at this point in the COVID-19 pandemic, the figures for those leaving the church has increased. People who are saying they will never go back to church again. And the reasons given are very similar, except just higher percentages. Christians are too condemning. Christians are too mean. Christians are too divisive. Christians are too judgmental. And when asked about that, people point to not just how Christians behave in church, but especially how they've been behaving in the community, on social media, in schools, in businesses. Christians are too condemning. Christians are too divisive. Christians are too mean. We hear it again and again and again. And so we want to ask a question this morning, a very important question, because we want to find out, is that true? Is the church too condemning? Are Christians too condemning? And if so, how do we change? Or is the problem on the other side? So that's the question we want to ask this morning. Maybe we can bring the slide up. Is the church too condemning? I think, first of all, you have to say, at times, yes. Yeah, at times we are. Tim Keller said, too many preachers and Christians enjoy condemning people. And that's the exact opposite of God's attitude. Too many preachers and Christians enjoy condemning people. So is the church too condemning? Well, we want to answer that question looking at these verses this morning, because Jesus here challenges Nicodemus, who we've been looking at for a number of weeks now. He challenged Nicodemus, first of all, in verses 1 through 8, he challenged his dead nominalism, calling him to new birth. And then in verses 9 through 14, he challenged Nicodemus's self-confidence by calling him to look to the cross of Christ for his salvation. And then last week, we saw Jesus challenge Nicodemus's nationalistic prejudice by calling him to embrace God's world love. And this week, Jesus condemns Nicodemus's legalism, his condemning legalism, by calling him to embrace and offer Jesus's acquittal. And as we look at that, I hope we'll be able to answer that question. So Nicodemus was too condemning and Jesus challenged that. Are we too condemning? Do we need to hear God's challenge? So the first answer to that question in this chapter, in these verses, is this. We are already condemned. We're already condemned. You notice Jesus' words here. Whoever believes, verse 18, is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already. So we have two things here that Jesus brings before us. Nicodemus has a bad relationship with the Lord, which means he has a bad relationship with the law. A bad relationship with the Lord means a bad relationship with the law. Let's look at these two. First of all, a bad relationship with the Lord. We get that from the words where Jesus says, "Whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." So Nicodemus did not believe in Jesus' name. He believed Jesus had a name. He believed Jesus' name was Jesus. He believed it enough probably to say it. So it's not talking about just simply having a knowledge of his name and using his name. No. When we read the name of Jesus, in especially the Hebrew background, it means the character, the whole person. And it can really be summed up in two ways: confidence and connection. Having faith in a name means having confidence in that person and a connection with that person. Let me illustrate. When I used to teach in the seminary, used to have some people come to me maybe for counseling, and if I felt it was beyond my pay grade, my ability, I would refer them to a counselor in Pine Rest, a friend of mine, and I would say, "Give such and such a phone, you'll get his secretary, use my name, and you'll get in quicker." And so these people would phone up Pine Rest, they'd be told, "Sorry, there's no space." They would say my name, and they would say, "Okay, well, you can get in to see this counselor sooner." So they used my name, they had confidence in it, and it gave them not just a connection with me, but a connection with this counselor. They believed in some poor, frail, weak way that my name could open this little door for them. It gave them confidence and it gave them connection. Therefore, when we read about believing in Jesus' name, it's meaning we have confidence in him and confidence that he can give us connection with God. Confidence and connection. And what Jesus is saying here is, if you do not believe in my name, if you do not have confidence in my name, if you do not connect with God through my name, what does he say? You are condemned already. If we don't believe in Jesus, we have already condemned ourselves. It's like we come to Jesus, and we see him, we hear about him, we think about him, but we judge him, we condemn him as not good enough for me, not suitable for me, not sufficient for me, doesn't fit me. And so we therefore condemn him, we judge him, we reject him. That's what Jesus is telling us here. If you do not have confidence in me and connect with me, you're saying, "I judge you, Jesus. I condemn you, Jesus. I reject you, Jesus." So here, what do we have? We have Jesus flipping the script, don't we? The people reject the church because it was too condemning, too judgmental. They are therefore rejecting Jesus as well, and Jesus is telling them, in doing so, you are condemning Jesus and rejecting Jesus. So who did the condemning first? Who was the first to condemn? It wasn't Jesus who condemned them. It's them who condemned Jesus, right? That's what Jesus is telling us. You don't believe in my name, you're condemning me. You don't believe in my name, you're judging me. You don't believe in my name, you are rejecting me. Jesus is saying, you are too judgmental. You are too condemning. And as a result of that, because of this bad relationship with the Lord, there is a bad relationship with the law. Look at how he connects it here. Whoever does not believe is condemned already. You don't connect with me, you don't have confidence in me, therefore you are condemned. A bad relationship with the Lord means a bad relationship with God's law. And therefore, it's not like the church comes, or I come, or any Christian comes to you as an unbeliever or any unbeliever and condemns you. All we're doing is letting you know what is already true. It's uncovering something that is already there. We don't come with condemnation. We don't come with judgment. It's Jesus is saying that's already there. And all that we are doing is we are pulling back the curtain or the sheet or the cover and letting you see that you don't have confidence in Jesus, you don't connect with Jesus, then you are condemning Jesus, and therefore you have condemned yourself. We're already condemned. Children, you look at that picture. If you were to walk up to that building, it's falling down and broken, and you were to say, you know, that building is just ripe for demolition, it's just ready to be condemned, would somebody turn to you and say, oh, you're too condemning? No. You're just stating what's already true. You're just making known what is already a fact. We are condemned already unless we have that good relationship with the Lord and therefore a good relationship with the law, and we'll look at that in a moment. So let's ask this morning, am I feeling condemned? Do I feel condemned? Do I feel the church or the pastor or a Christian in my family, community, do I feel they are too condemning? It's very likely that this is true. You're already condemned and they're just letting you know. And the problem is not with the church or the Christian, but with you. Imagine you were standing on the top of Sleeping Bear Dunes, or you were at Pictured Rocks, and there are many families there, and there's one right beside you, and you hear this man look out on the beautiful vista, and the man says, that is so ugly. That's just hideous. I don't even want to look at that. What would you think? Would you look at the dunes in Lake Michigan or the pictured rocks and say, whoa, there's a problem there? Or would you look at him and say, whoa, there's a problem there? The latter, isn't it? That there's something seriously wrong in him, not what he's viewing. It's in the viewer. And therefore, here we have an explanation of our feeling of condemnation. The problem may not be the Bible, the pastor, the church, Christ, but you. We are already condemned. I often think of this when, you know, you see today the determination to impose unbiblical morality on the whole society, the whole of the church. It's not just that we have to tolerate it. It's not just that we have to accept it, we actually have to say it and promote it ourselves. Increasingly, that pressure is coming upon us. We sense the militancy and the aggression to deprive us of freedom of speech, freedom of conscience, freedom of religion, and to be bound to this new immorality. What's behind that? What's behind that militancy? You look at that baker in Colorado, right? I mean, how many court cases has he now had? Every time he wins one, another pops up. There's an absolute determination to make this one man say sin is good. What's behind that? What can explain that? It's this verse here. The people who are doing this are condemned, and they know they're condemned, and they want to remove any reminder of that condemnation in their community, in the nation, and in the world. Leave us alone. Their conscience tells them, I'm doing wrong. I am wrong. I am condemned. But if I could eliminate every single person, every church, every organization that reminds me of this, I might get some peace for my conscience. But no matter how many voices, human voices, church voices, political voices are silenced, that inner voice will remain. I am condemned. Methinks thou dost protest too much, we might say. Maybe I can also speak through this verse to you today if you are a condemner. If you're condemned, then it's not my fault. It's not the church's fault. But what if you are a condemner? What if you are spending your life with a message of condemnation? What if your witness in the community, in schools, in businesses, in churches, on social media, is one of constant condemnation, especially if it's on secondary matters like vaccines and masks and social distancing and Republican and Democrat and this and that and the next thing, just all secondary matters. Is that good for you? Is that good for the church? Is that good for the church's message? When people see you coming, do they think, oh no, here comes the condemner. Here comes the judge. Here comes the accuser. Here comes somebody who truly is divisive, mean, and judgmental. Well, that's a serious problem, isn't it? It's a total contradiction of the gospel. It's got nothing whatsoever to do with the gospel of Christ. Yes, your condemnation condemns others, but it also condemns you. And Jesus condemns that condemnation. If we condemn others instead of bringing the gospel of salvation, we are condemned. And if we condemn Christ, Christ condemns us. So we're already condemned. So the church shows me I'm already condemned. It's not that they make up a condemnation, that they bring a condemnation. It's simply telling us that's the facts. That's how we're born into this world. That's how we live in this world. Detached from Jesus means condemned by Jesus. Can the church also tell me how to be saved? Thankfully, Jesus goes there next. He says the condemned can be acquitted. We're already condemned, but we can be acquitted. And just as condemned means a bad relationship with the Lord, leading to a bad relationship with the law, a good relationship to the Lord means a good relationship with the Lord, with the law. Look at these two one after another. A good relationship with the Lord. He describes it here in verse 18. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Expands on it later. Believing in the name of the only Son of God. Believing in Jesus is confidence and connection, right? You have confidence and connection with your house, don't you? You wouldn't live there unless you were confident in it. If that was your house that we saw earlier, you're right. Don't have any confidence in that. Don't go inside it. Don't connect your feet with the floor or any part of it because it's going to fall down. But if you have confidence in your house, you'll live in it. You'll enjoy it. You'll have your food and drink in it. You will rest in it. You will entertain yourself in it. You'll have pleasure in it. You'll talk in it. And it's just like there. And that's what Jesus is speaking of. When he says believing in my name, it's just like Jesus is our house. He's our foundation. He's our walls. He's our ceiling. He's our central air. He's our food and drink. He's our entertainment. He's our conversation. He's our rest. He's just everything. We just live in him. We breathe him. We eat him. We drink him. We enjoy him. We rest in him. He gives us pleasure. It just feels like home. That's a good relationship with the Lord. There's connection. There's confidence. There's communication. A good relationship with the Lord means a good relationship with the law. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Not condemned. Aren't these the sweetest words in all the world? If you found yourself in that the point, I'm condemned because I've condemned Christ, or I'm condemned because I am a condemner. All who are condemned are invited to this text and to hear these words. Not condemned. Underline it. Circle it. Highlight it. Not condemned. It's like Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Now, the joy of this text is that this is in the present tense. It's not, will not be condemned at the judgment. It's, is not condemned today. In other words, right here, right now, in that seat, above every head here, is either condemned or not condemned. Not condemned. Not condemned. And if that not condemned is above your head because you have confidence and connection in Jesus, enjoy it. Taste how sweet that is. Be refreshed by it. Your conscience might come and say, you're condemned. You can say back to it, not condemned. The church might come and say, we condemn you for this. You can say, not condemned. The world, the media, the entertainment industry can say, you Christians, you're condemned. We say, not condemned. When we fail and falter, when we sin, when we give in to temptation and we end up in a total mess, that doesn't change this. Not condemned. You never lose that once you've got it. It's like you walk around this world with a speech bubble above your head. Not condemned. Not condemned. Not condemned. No matter what I've done, been, not done, not been, not condemned is true. It can never be erased. It can never be blown away. It will never fade. Not condemned. And the beauty of this is not just like you don't get punished. That's great. I like that. considering all that's been in my past, to be told I'm not punished. I like that. But it's more than that. It's not just, well, you know, you did this, and we've found you guilty, and therefore you're sentenced to this, but don't worry, we won't punish you. No. It's no punishment. It's no sentence. It's no verdict. It's no trial. It's not even any charges. Remember Romans 8, who will lay any charge against God's elect? Any. It's like God stands there beside his people, you, with this knot condemned above your head, and he dares anyone. Who will even think of challenging this? No condemnation. I have said this, so it doesn't matter what anyone else says. Here we're told this beautiful message. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. It was already condemned. Jesus isn't the problem. We're the problem. Jesus didn't bring the problem. He simply uncovered it. And he came with a solution. In order that the world might be saved with him, God commissions his Son Jesus, and he says, Jesus, go uncover their sin for sure. If there's anything directly contradictory to my word, let them know that. But it's not like you are coming with something new. It's already there. You're just letting them know it's there. But get over that as quickly as you can, because I want you, when people look at you, whatever else they think about you, I want them to think of this: salvation, not condemnation. So if you are acquitted this morning, if Jesus is your acquittal, rejoice, rejoice. Nothing can change that. You can feel that. You can enjoy that. That's so relieving. Again, imagine if you were called into court and somehow or other somebody had downloaded your memory and found all the record of all you'd been and done. Right? And you're on trial. Well, I think we'd condemn ourselves, wouldn't we? We'll just forget the trial. Let's just go straight to the verdict and the condemnation. And yet Jesus comes and he says, acquitted, not condemned. You walk out of that courtroom. What just happened? Did that really happen? Not sure. Come back to John 3, 17 and 18, if you ever doubt it. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. You know, I think this would make such a difference to us if we could grasp it and keep it. I know there are medical, physical issues involved in things like depression, anxieties, eating disorders, for sure. But a lot of it is also driven by condemnation. Self-condemnation. Memories of condemnation from our past, our childhood. The condemnation that is just from God's word, that can be really depressing too. Being judged for our bodies, our body image, our identity or lack of it, the comparisonitis that leads us depressed, maybe even the workaholism that's driven sometimes by a desire to prove oneself and impress others. If we could really get not condemned, so much would be fixed. Rejoice in it. And if you are condemned, and rightly so, then it's here right now. You can You might have walked in this church today with condemned above your head. That can be changed with this verse. You can go out with a new speech bubble, a new divine declaration, not condemned. Enjoy that. Go, wake up with that. Go to sleep with that. Whenever voices start coming from within or without that leave you feeling less and shamed, not condemned. Jesus comes with salvation, not condemnation. There's a beautiful song written by Mercy Me called Flawless that really sums this up. Let me just finish with this. No matter what they say or what they think you are, the day you called his name, he made you flawless. Yeah, change your speech bubble with that. Flawless. Not failed, not faulty, not fallen. Flawless. No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, see, the truth is, the cross has made you flawless. No matter the hurt or how deep the wound is, no matter the pain, still the truth is, the cross has made you flawless. Take a breath, smile and say, right here, right now, I'm okay. Because the cross was enough. Enough. Remember our question. Is the church too condemning? Our answer is this. Remove condemnation by receiving Christ. Remove condemnation by receiving Christ. It's that. You have Christ, you have no condemnation. You have Christ, you are flawless. Let's pray.